welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Thank you for another opportunity to be illuminated, to hear from heaven, to receive light, for a sense of direction, to appreciate and understand the reason for which you gave me life. In the name of Jesus, I arrest fiery darts. I interrupt arrows. I quench strange fires. I arrest every interference in the service. I block the enemy. I block every Luciferian spirit. In the name of Jesus, I dismiss darkness. I dismiss confusion, hesitation, and whatever holds me, keeps me back, prevents me, hinders me from receiving instructions, direction, illumination, light. In the name of Jesus, Satan, take your hands off my mind. Take your hands off my body. Say, I reconnect to the life of God in this house. I reconnect to the streams of life. In the name of Jesus. Say, I refuse to be plugged out from the power source of life. In Jesus' name. Amen. You excited? Hallelujah. You may be seated in heavenly places. We've been dealing with remembrance, and the first and second service, I've been talking about remembrance, and May is our month of remembrance, and why we must remember, and why people forget. And I did establish that the only reason why people fail in exams is when they forget what they were taught. When you forget what you are taught, when it's time for exams, you fail. And that is the only reason why people fail in life. We forget. So we want to learn and be sure that we don't forget from whence we have come. God said to David, he said, David, you were a shepherd boy. And remember that I took you from the sheepfold. And I gave you your master's throne and his wives. Don't forget that you were a shepherd. I made you king over Israel. And one time Micaiah, the daughter of Saul, when David was praising God before the Ark of the Covenant, and the Bible said that he so danced before God that he rent his royal garment, the wife was embarrassed. And it wasn't about David. She wasn't concerned about David. She was concerned about herself, that her husband was embarrassing her because she's the daughter of King Saul and she's also a wife, and that you're embarrassing me. I have dignity. I have something to protect. If you don't respect yourself, I respect myself. How dare you embarrass me in public? And the Bible said, and the Lord smote her womb with barrenness, that she never had children all her life. And God said, how dare you? How dare you despise him when he's praising me? How dare you despise him when he's giving me glory before people, magnifying me, and you are thinking about your dignity and yourself? And God smote a woman with barrenness. We need to come to a place in our walk and in our life, ladies and gentlemen, where we give God the credit due him. And Paul said, I am who I am. He said, I am what I am, not because I am from the tribe of Benjamin. And he said, it's not because I studied at the feet of Gamaliel or I was a Jew among Jews. But I am what I am by the grace of God. And the Bible said, it's not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. And God said, I will have mercy on whom I will. And Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Ladies and gentlemen, God can do whatever he please because he's all God by himself. So please remember. Remember that people fail in life because they forget. And people who forget, their end is always disastrous. Come with me if you please, to Ezekiel 38. Reading from verse 17, verse 15 to 17. Ezekiel 38, 15 to 17. Please come along with me. Ezekiel.
Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they were filled, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee.
Please read it again.
Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created.
Please underline two things: that you were perfect from the day that you were created. You were created as a perfect being. There was no imperfection in you. Created perfect. And also underline the word that the word created. He was created. He wasn't self-made. Tell somebody, you are not self-made. Tell somebody, I know you are brilliant. And I know you went to a very good school. And you are very educated, exposed and well-informed. But you were still created. You see, this Luciferian spirit is the reason for the fall of man. And I'll prove it to you. And that is the problem in the church, in the problem in politics, in the problem in every work of life. It is this thing that causes people to miss it in life. The Luciferian spirit and the Luciferian mentality. Lucifer was not Satan. He was Lucifer. And this guy Lucifer here, he was no joke. The guy was wired. The Bible said when he passed, you hear music. He was so wired that he was the one responsible for praise and worship in heaven. Our sister from the Ivorian embassy, I need to see you after the service, okay? Yeah. Look at me. He was so wired that music. This guy was no joke. And he was responsible for praise and worship. After he messed up in heaven, you know what God did? God decided that the 24 elders who worship him, henceforth, he changed everything and said it won't be one archangel anymore. He divided it to 24 elders. And the 24 elders, he instituted that when they are worshiping him, they should cast down their crowns before him. To remind them that the crown you are wearing, I put it on your head. So when you are worshiping me, put down the crown before me at my feet. To remind you that the only reason why you have a crown on your head is because I put the crown on your head. So when you are worshiping me, I want the crown on at my feet. To remind you. And when you finish worshiping, put it down. When you finish worship, you can wear your crown. But when you are worshiping, I want you to remember, put the crown down at my feet, because I am Elohim, and I made you, and the crown on your head is mine. I gave it to you, and I want you to be remembered, so you don't become like a Lucifer, to forget yourself. The crown is mine. Go ahead. See.
Thou wast perfect in thy ways. So from the day thou was created till iniquity was found in thee.
Till iniquity was found. We want to find out what is and what was that iniquity. The iniquity was jealousy of man. When God decided after he had created him and made him who he was and give him everything, and God said, apart from Lucifer and the angels, I want and I wish as God to make man in my own image, after my own likeness. That was what brought about the whole iniquity. Lucifer said, I disagree with you. You don't have the right to make a man. What is this man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you visit him. Made him a little lower than us. giving him dominion over all the works of your hands, crowning him with glory and with honor. What is man that thou art mindful? That was what led to the iniquity. Jealousy. 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 When you blame others for your inefficiencies, for your failures in life, and you see others as the reason why you don't have what you have, and so you must do everything to destroy them in order to have what they have. Jealousy. The next thing was questioning God's decision and wisdom to make man in his own image. That how dare you? You don't have the right. You can't sideline us. We deserve to be relevant. And this thing called man, you are making in your own image, is going to make us irrelevant. So we are going to rebel against your decision. Questioning God's wisdom is iniquity. And that's the problem you have in the church. And in politics and in life. Children questioning the wisdom of their fathers, the wisdom of their mothers. Pastors and bishops and teachers and prophets questioning the wisdom of leadership in the church. There are people who are nothing, nobodies. Remember when I lived in America, I met this pastor. He pursued me for 3 years and I made him a pastor, a bishop. And after I made him a bishop, we're in a restaurant and I introduced him to a friend of mine as one of my spiritual sons. And I called him by his first name and he was offended that I called him by his first name because he's now a bishop. Hey! Somebody say, hey! Somebody say, Somebody say, Somebody say, Now you are a bishop. And you have forgotten that I laid hands on you to make you a bishop. I anointed you to make you a bishop. And the certificate you hold to ascertain that you are a bishop is my signature on it. And I don't have the right to call you by your first name and to say you are my spiritual son because you are a bishop. Hey. Somebody say, hey. You have forgotten. And there are people like that. That was Lucifer's problem. He had forgotten that he was created. I created you. I am God. And I've decided to make man in my own image. And you say, I don't have the right to do it. Am I entitled? Did I make any covenant with you? Just because I created you? That I forfeit my rights to do anything I want to do? Do I have to consult you? There are people like that. You can't take a decision. You have to consult them. Oh, yeah. Our pastors and bishops like that. You want to make a decision, you have to consult. You didn't consult us. And because you didn't consult them, they will do everything to sabotage it. Then there are people in the church who are also very, 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 sick and insane. They follow them because they are their so-called disciples. Very, very sad. In the church. I had a pastor like that. He was in one of these African countries. From here. No, I made him a pastor. Took him there. Blessed him. Helped him. He was earning more money than me. And I don't mind. I want my sons to make it. Had a problem and the lady had an issue. Said the only person I will listen to is Papa. I flew to that country. Met the lady. Solved the problem. Removed him and brought him here. Brought him here. Gave him my church. When I shouldn't have, I should have disciplined him. I didn't. I didn't spoil him. I didn't destroy him. I loved him. Covered him. Covered his nakedness. And he still stabbed me at the back. Betrayed me on top. And before, he never called me Papa. He used to call me Archbishop. Archbishop. And it was when he was in trouble, one day he called me. He said, Papa. And I heard the voice and I intentionally acted like I didn't know the voice. I said, who is this? Who is this calling me Papa? He said, oh, your son. I said, which of my sons? He said, oh, Papa. I said, don't owe me. Who are you calling me Papa? He didn't know I knew he was in trouble. Now he's calling me Papa. People forget. Came in here. He became so powerful. Left the church. Broke away. Took people with him. I didn't see anything. Then he died. When he died, people blame me. That I killed him. I said, how did I kill him? What did I do? He said, Papa, pray. I didn't pray against him. It was his own ways. It was choices he made. Like Lucifer, he chose. He chose to rebel against God. He chose to be jealous of God's decision to make man in his own image. Satan's number one assignment in life is to attack the image of God in us. It's to change God's image in us, and it's to help God by influencing you and I to disobey God so that he can tell God, you see, you, God, you said you are sidelining us for this thing called man. You see what they are doing to you? That's the whole problem. That is the iniquity. There are people, they tell you, you don't have any right. You have no right. You have no right to make a decision without her. The church is not a democratic system. It's a theocratic system. It's not a consultative leadership system. It's theocracy. It's God ruling by man. And that's why we can't get anything done. Because we spend years in debating over one issue. When we have to give updates and instructions for things to move, to change things, we sit down and everybody is arguing over nothing. And we call it democracy. Questioning leadership. Some of the changes we are making here, I'm improving the property so we become a better place. There are people who are complaining, hey, he has started again. You see? He has put a whole boundary there. Inconveniencing us. What is wrong with him? He started his thing again. That's what this man, that's the way he is. Every year, new things. Leave us alone. Can't he just preach the gospel? I know you are talking. Some of you are talking. You think I don't know? You talk. After the service, you go to the car park and you tell somebody, so what do you think about all the things he said? And some of you even record and take pictures of me and go and give it to the media. He has started his thing again. Fire him. Let anybody go on radio right now and misbehave and say anything bad about the chief imam. By the time you finish speaking, you've been surrounded. You will never do it again as long as you live. Let anybody go and say anything and insult me. Other preachers will call him and say, congratulations, you are doing a good thing. Fire him. Get at him. That is who we are. We are not a community. We are individuals. That's why we are weak. We don't believe in one another. We don't celebrate one another. We have self-hatred. The Jews are a community. The Chinese are a community. The Muslims are a community. We are individuals. And that's why we are weak. And there's no future if we continue this way. Other religions are having more children. The average Christian, you marry one woman, you have 3, maximum 5 kids. Other religions, they marry many, and they have 10 children, 20, 50 children. They are populating the world. And all we are doing, we don't want to be a community. And you are just one person, and you are fighting, you won't win. And until we stop all this little arrogance and pride, and put aside all our pride, and our so-called, I've made it, you've made it what? Somebody was asking me the other day, he said, Papa, what is the secret of your success? And I said, me, I'm not successful. He said, what do you mean? We know you are best. And I said, let me tell you something. I have no secret. And I said, success, as I defined it, is how you end the race. And I said, the race is still on, and I'm still running the race. And I haven't finished the race yet. And you know why I said that? He's a young preacher. And I told him that because, you know, I don't like arrogance and pride around me. And I was telling him that to let him know, young man, don't get into this game of success, success. Get into the game of caring for people, doing the will of God, helping humanity. And humble yourself and finish this race. And stop all this, I'm successful. You can't define success in material things. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Nelson Mandela said, what defines your true legacy? And the fact that you lived and you came into this world is not the houses you have and the money you possess and the investments you have made. It's the difference you make in the life of humanity. Sorry, I need a face towel. Okay, I need a face towel. You know, they don't care about me. No, 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 it's true. People really don't care. I was telling Joel and Prophet Gideon them yesterday. I said, I'm very, very lonely, and sometimes I feel very isolated. And I'll tell you why. Because I deal with issues that I can't tell anybody. Sometimes people come and tell you their problems and you can't even share it with your wife. You can't. Because it's people's problems and you have to find wisdom. I was in a place when a lady came to me in Europe. He came to me with a husband. And she was pregnant. They've been married 12 years, no children. She got pregnant and she came and we were happy for them and everything. And then she excused the husband and said, I need to talk to Papa. So the husband went out and he said, Papa, I'm carrying something. I can't talk to anybody about it. You are the only person I can trust. And I said, what is it, daughter? He said, the pregnancy is not for him. I said, hey, you've troubled me. I said, what did you say? He said, Papa, it is not for him, but he thinks it is. And I said, thou hast troubled me this day. So I said, who is it for? He said, for his brother. I said, hey! Double trouble. This is what we call multiplicity of problems. And I said, is he aware? He said, no. And he said, the wife also of his brother, we are best of friends. Then she went another step further to trouble me the more by asking me, what should I do? I knew I was in trouble. I knew she was setting me up. And I had to deploy every wisdom. And I said, to be honest with you, I can't advise you. I cannot advise you. Then I said, there is a parable in God that says that the truth that destroys a country or a nation or a community, you don't say it. So I said, your husband, your brother-in-law, then the wife, then the child, everybody must know the truth. And there are serious implications. And I said, you are either going to have to deal with all the implications or you live with it until the day you die. I said, but it's your decision. You got to live with it. I can't advise you. And she went to another pastor. And the pastor told her, you have to tell the truth. And he did. And he broke everything. Husband left him. The other guy's wife left him. It was a whole issue. You see, let me tell you something. The Bible said the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Let me explain something. Satan speaks the truth without grace, but Jesus speaks truth with grace. So anytime you speak the truth without grace, you've killed somebody. Truth is only acceptable and relevant when it is presented in the spirit of grace. Outside of grace, it's only Satan that speaks truth. That's what the Bible says, finally, my brethren, what things soever are honest and true and lovely and of good report, if there be any praise in these things, then focus on them. But if it doesn't give God any praise, if it is lovely, it is true, it's of a good report, don't focus on it. Don't. Thank you. Okay, let's finish. Let's finish that scripture before we move on quickly. Somebody say heavy, heavy. Heavy. And I'll give you a scripture. I'll give you a scripture. I know some of you are looking at me and you are saying that, well, you should have told her to go and tell the husband the truth. You should have told her, not me. And those are things. When I came out, one of my pastors, he said, Papa, what is it? What was she telling you? She came out crying. Is everything okay? You spent a lot of time with her. And I said, nothing happened. No. I'm still anointed. And I can't tell you what she told me. It's a very lonely path. Because there are things, sometimes you are navigating through a landmine. And you are dealing with an issue that can explode. and you trust somebody, maybe a bishop, you trust them with an information, and you say, it's between you and I, just pray with me. Next time they go and tell the person that Papa said this. And what you are trying to prevent happens. The person, but I told Papa alone, I trusted Papa. How can Papa tell Bishop so and so? And the thing explodes, and you are trying to cover, and then you have no idea what it means to be a leader. You must carry it alone. Trust God for grace. And you are not just trusting God for grace, but you are trusting God for redemptive grace. And you trust God not just for wisdom, but redemptive wisdom. Because there is a wisdom that does not redeem, and there is a wisdom that redeems. Finish, please.
By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty.
You see, stop there. Anytime, we'll go ahead, you see, anytime a man or a woman's heart, if you study the scriptures carefully, was lifted up, it was when they became somebody. Success, fame, money, power, riches, then their heart is lifted up. When they are nothing and they are nobody, they are very humble. I've seen people that used to carry my Bible and they walk around, papa, papa, papa. They will fight to carry my Bibles until they became successful or they became bishop and they became famous. I have to even be very careful. Sometimes I carry my own Bible. I'm telling you. Because I don't want to offend anybody. They are now big boys. So I carry my own Bible. I don't want to offend you. You are a big man. Fine. God used me to make you a big man. Fine. Because some of them has the audacity to say, just because you ordained me and you exposed me doesn't mean I own my life to you. I could have been who I am anyway without you. God could have used anybody. God could have used anybody. Okay. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. What is it that is making you arrogant and proud and boastful? Somebody at the car park went and touched somebody's brand new car. Hey! Hey, what did you just do? You touched my car? Do you know the price of the car? Hey, brother. 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 Why? Why did you touch my car? Car. Hey. You used to be Namdadi when you were going to school. You were born in a madhouse. You were drinking water from the same stream where the animals in your village drink water. Today, God has helped you. You are driving a brand new car and a human being touches your car and you treat him like an animal. You have forgotten where you came from. Met a guy in New York. He's been in America for 20 years. He went to America at the age of 30, and he's 50 years, a Ghanaian, and he's in America. He doesn't have papers, and he hasn't seen his mother for 20 years, and the old lady is sick. He can't send the mother anything. And I said, so what are you doing in America? You have no use. Can't send your mother anything, and you haven't seen your mother for 20 years. Who is going to bury that old lady when she dies? And I said, you, if I have my way, I will pray for you to be deported. Because you are better off going back to Ghana deported than staying here and saying you live in America. And there are people like that. They don't remember their mothers. They don't remember their fathers. Dr. Samuel of blessed memory said, in this life, one person you must never forget is the one that discovered your potential and showed you the way to become who you are. That person, never forget him. And in this life, if I tell you the number of people I have helped who have become somebody today and they don't remember me, you will bleed for me. Sometimes I hemorrhage and I bleed and I have to heal myself. When I see people that I could have ignored them and they would have died. And nobody would have recognized them. Some people, I fought their enemies to help them. And I was warned that this person you are helping one day will stab you. And yet I helped them and they stabbed me. When they succeeded, you know what they did? They will invite my enemies to preach for them, to spite me. When my enemies wouldn't help them when they needed help. Just to spite me. And not because I did anything to them. But it's because they are descendants of Lucifer. They are Luciferians. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You want to boast of beauty? You are arrogant, have no respect for humanity. Why? Because you are beautiful. Beauty? I've seen very beautiful women. Hey! And you give it a few years and you look at them and they've aged. And they have, listen, they age and they melt. If you look at my picture, when 93 National Day of Thanksgiving, you see my bushy hair. The other day, one of my sons was saying, Papa, bald hair, bro. Your hair, you see? And I look at him and I say, you don't understand. You are growing. You get there one day. When you see fire, how do you say it? Fire is set on somebody's beard, then you find water and put it next to yours. Because it could be you next. Time changes. So don't walk around, boast because of what you have. The Bible says, let no man boast of his riches. For let not the rich man boast of his riches and the mighty of his strength and of his power. But let him that boast of this one thing, that he knows I, the Lord, who execute judgment and righteousness and justice on the earth. Go ahead.
Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by the reason of thy brightness.
Go ahead.
I will cast thee to the ground.
That you see falling, always pride always comes before falling. When you see people very boastful and proud, I look at them and I laugh. Because I've seen people rise and I've seen them falling. I was in a church in America some years ago, and was this guy, very, very powerful, had private jets, loaded. And I've known him for years, had his number. When I called, he wouldn't even return my call. And this time I was preaching in the church. And the son came and called me that my father wants to see you. And then one of the pastors I was with said, Papa, why do you have to go? Now he wants to see you. Don't go. And I said, I will go. If he needs me and he has called for me, I'll go. So I went. All his friends had left him. Everybody had forsaken him. And he was telling me how people he called friends and loved ones had turned on him. And he asked me, he said, Archbishop, do you think I will ever come back again? I said, yes, there is that possibility, but not by the way you were going. I said, you can't come back by the way of systems and media and marketing and PR. You can only come back by the sure message of God. You have to humble yourself and come another way and let God bring you back. You know? He said, read that scripture again. He said, you have corrupted your wisdom by the reason of your brightness. You know what that means? That word there, by the reason of your brightness, means brilliance. You are brilliant. You have intellectual capabilities that you are able to outsmart, outthink, and outweigh others. You have persuasion powers that when you speak, you can persuade people to yield to your reasonings and to your demand. That is how good you are. And he said, that has made you arrogant. that you despise people and you have no respect and value for people. You know, in this church, and among my bishop, Bishop Ben, I led Bishop Ben to Christ, made him a pastor, made him a bishop, but he's older than me. And I respect Bishop Ben. When I have some issue, I call Ben. I say, Chief, what do you think? Mr. Fred O'Hara, you see he has gray hair. I don't have a gray hair. When I call him, I don't call him Fred. I don't call him O'Hara. I call him Chief. Why? I'm the arch. But being an archbishop doesn't give you authorization to disrespect people. You got to honor people. You got to keep people right. There are women. Met a lady the other day in London. She asked me to pray for her. She's so successful, has money, everything, but she's not married. Beautiful girl. No husband. And yet, such a woman may marry and will start misbehaving and mishandling the man. The man will come home and say, I'm hungry. I say, well, there's no food. There's some, I think there's some bread in the fridge. And you can get some butter and bacon and do a sandwich for herself. And she's watching a movie. Punishing the man. You are always in your period. You are looking at me. And there are men too. There are men. They marry good women. A good woman. She works hard. Bring money to the house and everything. And you have no value for her. You use her. You use her. Treat her anyway, anyhow. Hey, you have forgotten? Today, you are making it. You have forgotten that before you started making it, because you started ending that money, before they started calling you honorable and all that you are, she was the one that was paying the bills. And today, you are very important. I've forgotten. And he said, I will cast you down to the ground and before kings that they might behold you. That's what happened. And I've seen people, when I see people so arrogant and proud, there are some people when they become so successful in the church, they don't help. When you call for prayer meeting, they never come. They won't join any fasting meeting. They don't come to Sunday night. They don't come to Wednesday. They are not involved in anything. And if you try to encourage them to get involved, they'll leave the church. You know, there was a guy who was in coma, dying, and we went and prayed for him. He came out of the coma. He wasn't going to make it. Then I shared a testimony about how God healed him, brought him out of the coma to some people, and one of them knew him. And he told me, oh, Archbishop Bean talked about you, how God brought you out of coma and things. And I didn't see him in church for a long time. So one time I saw him and said, hey, I don't see you in church. What happened? He said, Archbishop, let me tell you something. I'm a very private person. And I didn't take kindly to what you did. And I said, what did I do? He said, I mean, telling people that I was in coma and I came out of coma because you prayed for me, I didn't take kindly. I don't like things like that. And I said, hey, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I won't do that again. You were dying. And you have forgotten. I was giving testimony to encourage somebody that if God did it for this person, he can do it for that person. And you say, I don't have the right to share a testimony of God's goodness in your life. So you leave my church, you go to another church, and you have the audacity to tell me you are a very private person. You are a private person? Good. Another coma will come. And when it comes, you will go deep in your privacy. Somebody say, mercy, mercy, mercy. But there are people like that in church. People like that. Young man came to see me, 37 years old. He has 12 company businesses. And he's doing a 13-1. And he needed me to put in a call for him to somebody, somewhere. And I said, why should I do it? And I said, you, what do you do for the church? Are you involved in any of the projects we have in the church? You know, boreholes, schools, under trees, orphanages, you know, drug rehab. I said, what do you do? Nothing. And I said, so why do you want money? Why do you need money? He said, well, the Bible says that I'll be the head and not the tail above you. And I said, people like you are very dangerous. And I said, you got it all wrong. And you know what his problem was? He can't sleep in the night. He sleeps 2-3 hours. And when he's sleeping, then he panics. He screams, nightmare. And I said, you know what your problem is? You haven't developed capacity for what you are managing. And you don't also understand the purpose of it. So you are abusing it. And I said, if you are not careful, you die prematurely. The fact that you can do something don't mean you have been designated to do it. You know, I was looking at the New Bible translation of Matthew chapter 7 from verse 21 to 23. And he said, in that day many shall come in my name and say, we cast out devils, we raised the dead, we did great miracles, we healed the sick in your name. And he said, yes, you did it in my name. But you that were unauthorized to do what you did. So the fact that you can do something and you have the means to do it does not mean you are authorized to do it. There are some businessmen and women, they are called to help the church and they feel like because they give money to the church, the pastors don't deserve it, so they go and start their own church and then they have pastors, they employ a pastor to pastor the church and they pay the pastor and the pastor answers to them. Please. Please. What is this? What has become of us? There's no values in our systems anymore. We've become very dangerous people. Hey. Somebody say, hey. You know, let me show you something. Put something on the screen. Let me show you something. Put something on the screen. I want to show you all something. Look at something on the screen. Bishop, do we have it? Yeah. This is a man and his wife. They just had a wedding. Eh? They just finished a wedding. Their family and friends just finished greeting them at the hotel. And everybody is leaving and they are going for their honeymoon. Look at what happened at the honeymoon bed. Look at something. Go ahead, play it. That is the husband and the wife. She's removing the breast. Somebody say, mercy. Hey, do you know the guy could have died? And only God knows what would have killed him. And she would come out dressed again, put on everything. All the things she had there was not her breast. Artificial. And the guy thought he had married this beautiful chick. Ready to receive unction to function. By the time she showed him the real thing, he collapsed. He could have had a heart attack and died. Only God knows what kills people. Especially on their honeymoon. The latest widow. And nobody would have known the secret. True story. The man collapsed. Say! Shock. What a shock. Somebody say, what a shock. Do they say, what a shock. Hey. You see, Russell? People are dealing with issues. Come with me to Isaiah chapter 14, 13 to 14. I'll try and close early today. We'll continue because it's a whole man thing, so I'm not going to rush. Isaiah 14, 13 to 14.
Look, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven.
You said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. You see, this whole fight over the earth between Satan and man, this is where it began from. Satan was in charge of the earth. He was the governor of the earth. When you study the pre-Adamic world, then you will understand that Satan was in charge of the earth. And he hated the idea of man occupying the earth. And that's why he came. The Bible says, and thou was in hidden in the beginning. The Garden of Eden. He was there. He was the one in charge of the Garden of Eden. So when God put man there, he said, I will get you out. Read on. Look at something.
I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mountain of the congregation.
The stars of God are the angels of God. Go ahead.
I will sit also upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds.
I will ascend above the
heights of the clouds.
So he was beneath it. Go ahead.
I will be like the most high.
That was the problem. You are created and you want to be like the Most High. And you see, I will be like the Most High here. It's not like he admired God and he wanted to, to imitate God or to mimic God or to become like God in the positive sense. He wanted to compete with God and overtake God. And that is the problem. Even in the charismatic church, there are people who want to overtake me. People like Trent. They want to overtake me. They want to outdo me. Hey! You want to outdo me? Do you know the kind of material I'm made of? Do you know the instructions I received and what was put in my DNA before I became a clot of blood in my mother's womb? Please, take it easy. Do you know what kind of wele I carry? You know what wele is? You don't know wele, find out. Somebody will tell you what wele is. And that was Lucifer. That was Lucifer. He wanted to be like God in a negative sense, to overtake God, to compete with God. And there are people like that. They want to compete with you. There are people who tell you, oh, I want to be like you. I'm very impressed. They are lying. Oh, what is the secret of your success? I don't have any secret. You show them your secret and they will outdo you. You think it's everybody who likes and is happy for you when you are saying, you are joking. There are some of you call my friend. You don't have a friend. The people you call your friend, they are your enemies. They want to overtake you. They want to outsmart, outdo you. They say, my friend, you don't have a friend. Luciferians. That's who they are. Go ahead. Look at Genesis 3:5. Genesis 3:5.
For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods.
You do what?
You shall be as gods.
I will be like
the Most High.
You remember? What Lucifer said was, I will be like
the Most High.
I will be like
the Most High.
And now he's saying that God is fooling you. He knows that in the day that you eat of the fruit of this, you will be like. And they were already like. The same thing he wanted was what he told Adam and Eve to become. Compete with God. Challenge God's wisdom. That how come he has given you freedom to eat of every fruit of every tree in this world, and he's telling you not to eat of this particular fruit of this tree? Why? Question it. Do what? Question it. They call children who question everything smart. That is the secular wisdom, earthly wisdom. It's not everything you question in life. There are some things you observe. You listen and you learn. Let me show you a scripture. Psalm 131 and verse 1.
Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty.
Haughty means my heart is not lifted up. I'm not arrogant nor proud.
Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me.
You see, great matters. Hear me. There are some things in life, You don't exercise yourself in them. We call it great matters, weightier matters. You stay out of it. And he said, there are some things, they are over my head. It means it doesn't matter how much you try to apprehend or comprehend or understand and figure it out. You haven't developed the mental capability and capacity to comprehend and to handle it. So Jesus said, there are things I want to tell you, but you can't handle it now because you haven't yet obtained the level that you can handle. So I will wait when the Spirit of truth comes. So stop trying to be inquisitive about everything. You know, the three people, my father used to say that, hey, Nicholas, we are Akora. Akora now there. Akora ba anga no mwa chichi there. The interpretation, ask somebody. We want to understand everything. And he said, I have been exercising myself in great matters. And he said, there are certain things, you see, in this world, if you want to be wise, the Bible says, let him that want to be wise in this world become a fool that he may become wise. You know, sometimes when you hear some children, they ask all kinds of questions and things. Then people are happy. Oh, he's a very smart child. He said that child will be in trouble if he doesn't know how to respect boundaries. Respect boundaries. He will overstep some boundaries in life and get into trouble one day. You have to teach them how to listen more and observe and choose. And respect timings and seasons. If you listen to our radios right now, you see the way people debate. They insult everybody. There's no respect anymore. This is not our tradition. We respect our fathers. We respect our mothers. We don't insult dignitaries. Today, people insult everybody. Hey, it's scary, no? Where we are going. We are losing values. All in the name of democracy and Western knowledge and civilization and education. That's what has become of us. Somebody say, mercy, mercy, mercy. Okay, let me show you a scripture quickly. I will stop because we have a whole month to deal with this. Come with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, reading from verse 12 to 19. Deuteronomy 8, 12 to 19.
Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver multiply, and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up.
Stop there. Then
thy heart.
When is your heart lifted up? When thy heart was lifted up because of what? Thy beauty and thy wisdom and brightness. Then thy heart will be lifted up. Then you are loaded today. You are very powerful. You have access. You are very important. Very important. You have connections. You have investments. Every year you buy the latest car in town. You have breakfast with the Queen of England and dinner with Barack Obama. You are well connected. So you have no value and respect for anybody. You have forgotten where you came from. You have forgotten those who connected you. Then thy heart be lifted up. Go ahead, look at something.
Then thy heart be
thing is, they forget God, they forget where they came from, they forget who helped them, they forget the church, they forget their pastors, they forget anything to do with where they came from. They don't even want anybody to know where they came from. I know people like that. They don't want anybody to know where they came from. They hide their identity. They change their names. Somebody, your name is, you know, whatever. Then you change it to prince and to princess. You are not princess. and let somebody say, oh, I know her, she's not princess, her name is Echa. Her? Me? I'm called Echa. I'm princess. Princess what? Your heart is lifted up. Now you are changing your name. I don't mean changing your name is... I'm not saying that if you have to change your name because maybe the meaning of your name is wrong. But you don't do it because you are now successful and you are moving. You know one thing that I love about Barack Obama, even though I don't agree with all his policies, is the fact that he didn't change his name. Barack Obama. He didn't change his name. He was proud of his name. You have to thank God for who you are and not... You don't change your name because now you work with very important people. So you have to now change your name to King so and so, Princess. Take it easy. Stop it. You see, greatness is being great, being loaded, and still being you and maintaining the common touch. You know, some people may have issues with me whenever I make reference to Madiba, Mandela. But one of the things I like about President Mandela is some very, very simple, and their values. Even though he could have stayed in office till he died, he came in one term, get out, handed over. And the guy had some values that impressed me. Whether he was a believer or not, that's another matter for the theologians and for historians to debate it. But I was just in love with his principles. And when I studied them carefully, all those values are embedded in the ancient word. The word of God. Those are the things that attract me. Those are the things that move me. I am not impressed by a lot of things. I'm not impressed by this latest. Don't impress me. Things that impress me are very, very, very simple things. You know, one time, Rosa and I was chatting, and she said to me, she said, babe, thank you for being my husband. Thank you for marrying me. And I said, girl, thank you too. Thank you too for being my wife. And you know, she's more educated than me. She's more educated than me. She's more educated than me. But the fact that she could humble herself to say things like that made me to respect her more. That this woman, amen? That this woman, just listen, I said to myself, I said, you know, this woman is not into arrogance or self. She's a real human being. She has values. And those are the things I like about her. You know? Those are the things that moves me. And you know, it's not just her looks. The look is powerful. You know, but beyond the looks is the values. It's the values. And that is what moves me. That is what will make me sit in a plane for 10 hours non-stop. And fly to New York and stay at the airport 2-3 hours and board another plane. And say, baby, I'm coming. Today, we have no values anymore. There are women with no values. You value your education than character. This is not about character. If it's about education, then every woman educated would have married. And there are women. I've met women, very, very pretty, beautiful women. Some of them are 50 years, 51, 52. And they are lonely. Beautiful. But the brothers are impressed. They speak very nice English. Slangs. Queen's English. And you see a brother passing them by and going to marry somebody that is fearfully made. And you ask yourself, how is this fearfully made married to this man and the wonderfully made are being bypassed? It is not education. It is values, ethics, character, humility. Get it? Amen? Did we finish? No. Up to 19. Let's go.
And thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage.
Forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. So it is possible to forget. And people always forget when they get blessed. That's it. Tell somebody, don't forget when you get blessed. Don't forget the church. Don't forget the house of God. People forget. Go ahead.
Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were ferret, serpents, and scorpions, and drought, where there was no water? Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end?
You see, God's plan for your end is good, not evil. Not evil. But those who are proud and arrogant, watch their end. Their end is always disastrous. Tragedy. You watch their end, it's never been good. And I've seen it over and over again. Seen people so powerful have no regard. Listen, I've seen people in this church, men and women, who had money, they had nothing. Prayed them through and they become powerful. And when money comes, men and women, and they will pay people in the choir and take them away from this church. Pay my pastors, give my pastors, buy them cars and things, and they won't help the church. And when you talk, they get angry, and they sponsor pastors to break away, leave the church, and they give them money to start the church to compete with me. And I've seen them all. Their monies have all dried up. They've wasted away. Every one of them. Not one succeeded. Not one. I've seen pastors who I took to Europe, America, Asia, they stabbed me and took my church away from me. To build, to compete with me. And none of them has succeeded. None of them. Not one. Over and over. I've seen it by history and by experience. And I've had challenges. And I'm still fighting. But I'm winning. I'm winning. I haven't yet lost any battle by the grace of God. And because he lives, I will never lose. Because I have chosen not to forget from whence I came from. Go ahead.
And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.
You see, you know why people don't help the church? You know why people don't give? You know why people are greedy and stingy and withhold and hold back? Is this. They take credit for what they have and where they are in life. That it is how disciplined, organized, principle and experience they are that has made them who they are. So they take credit for the grace of God in their lives, and because of that they don't see why they should help the church or support the work of God. So they keep and hold back to themselves. My might and the power of my hand has gotten me this. That means I deserve it. God, you didn't do this, I did it. Somebody say, Go ahead. Look at 18 and 19.
But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God.
But thou what?
Shall remember the Lord thy God.
You see, that means you can forget. And Christians, we forget. At least Muslims, they pray 5 times a day and they remember their God for that 5 times a day. Jews, they pray 3 times a day and they remember their God. Christians, how many times in a day do we pray? Zero. Some of you, you won't read your Bible again until next week Sunday. Some of you, because of even the cell phones and all this latest technology, iPad and things that you can get, you don't even read your Bible anymore. You don't even know where your Bible is. You've forgotten all the scriptures. And the morning, the daily devotions have made the lamb. You don't even buy it. You don't buy it. I'm taking time. Now, every 90 days, I put it together. Daily devotion, daily scripture, daily prayer to help you. You won't buy it. You won't even buy it for a friend. You won't read it. You are lazy. A Luciferian. You question everything. Why morning? Why daily devotions? Did I tell you that I want to read the Bible every day? Did I tell you I need your prayers every day? So what do you want? There's somebody say, you cry. What pleases you? What impresses you? Today you are very, very quiet. Go ahead.
For it is he that giveth thee power to get well.
Who giveth thee power? The school you attended? Your father? Your mother? Your background? Your DNA? Your genes? You are smart because your father was smart. Smart because your mother, you have. Please, give me a break. There are people who are smarter than you and yet don't have what you have. It is grace. It is mercy. Give God credit. Go ahead.
For it is God, It is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish
what
his covenant.
What is the purpose for the favor and the wealth? That he may what?
Establish
you?
His covenant.
You?
No.
You? Your children? But who?
His covenant.
His what?
His covenant which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day.
You know, his covenant. It's not about you. The covenant is about him and your fathers. It's about him and your fathers, not about you. Look at 19.
And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day.
God said, I will be a witness against you.
I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish.
You see, I didn't say it. I won't even say it with my mouth. Say, Papa is, I won't say it. He said, you shall surely. Whatever it is, it's there, it's written. I didn't say it. Hello? Somebody can't take it. You see, they don't want to buy it. Their brother took it, eh? Their brother took it. It's good, give it to the sister. Are you married? You're not married. You like it, eh?
You like it.
Sister, you have to suspect him because he gave the book to you. Clap for the brother. He did well. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's stop here. We'll continue. It's lunchtime.
As unknown and yet well known.
He said, it's like we are unknown, but yet we are very known.
As dying, and behold, we live.
It's like we are dying, but yet we are alive.
As chastened and not killed.
They chastise us. We are implicated. And yet, we are very relevant.
As sorrowful and yet always rejoicing.
We carry grief. We are acquainted with grief. And yet we may look on the outside as going through things. But we have joy and peace in the inside.
As poor and yet making many rich.
We don't have what we have.
Impact into your life to have physically. But yet we have all things because you are who you are as a result of our preaching and our prayers. So what we have is more than what you have. So even though you may have physical goods than us, yet we have spiritual riches that you don't have. As having nothing and yet possessing all things.
As nothing, as having nothing and yet we possess all things. Stand on your feet.
Fire.
Are you clapping? You know, when we married, when Rosa and I married, for 2 years we didn't go for a honeymoon. 2 years, no honeymoon. Because for the first 2 years of the marriage, the boat was rocking. And I said, baby, you know something? As much as I love you, my focus right now is the church. And honeymoon time will come. And I said, baby, just trust me. When the time comes, I will shock you. May you show. And after 2 years, me and the show. Are you hearing me? When we went to the honeymoon, I took her to a place. I won't tell you where. And the thing that impressed me was she never nagged at me. You know, someone went, and you married me, and I'm taking honeymoon, and you don't love me. She never nagged at me. And the fact that she didn't nag at me, it convicted me more. And she never complained. She didn't complain. So when the time came for the honeymoon, I also decided to miyensho. Hey! And you know, when we got to the hotel and she saw the place, the hotel was in the sea. And when she saw the place, she said, if this is what I have to wait for 2 years for, it's worth it. And I said, you haven't seen anything yet. This is just the beginning. My year will show my wife believe you. You know? But those are values that are lacking in our society today. Sometimes I give her money and she doesn't take it. We fight. I'll give her money and say, no, I don't need it. I buy things. You don't have to buy me all this. It's too expensive. I don't need it. Why? Some of our sisters, put on me. Give it to me. Come on. You know, values. There are things that impresses people, though. And the things that impresses me, they are very deep. I'm not impressed by so many things. And you see, she's taught me a lot. If you watch, even my dressing have changed. Simple. What I'm wearing, very, very simple. Very simple. Before, coat. Tintini, where are you going? And she will say, hey, take it easy. Just take it easy. Simple. She said, nice but elegant. She said, be conservative. Stop all these, hey. So what I'm wearing is very conservative, but it's happy. That is what you need. And those are the things lacking in our society today. It's lacking in our relationships. I'm telling you. We went to Dubai to shop. And we went to this shop. And I just wanted her to have something. So I said, pick this. And the lady was taking it. And I said, baby, buy it. And she said, no, I don't need it. And the lady said, you too, what is wrong with you? The man is buying it for you and you say you don't like it. And you say, mommy, is it your business? I say, I don't like it. It's too expensive. And I was angry. I said, baby, I just want you to have it. And she said, I don't need it. It's too much money. I don't need it. And I said, hey, this one is an anointing. She doesn't like that. She feels very embarrassed. But once in a while, you just got to, some of these messages, you have to make it relevant. It's not something in the air. We have to be human, relevant, practical, down to earth. So when you live here today, how many women are married here? If you're a woman, you are married. What about me? You are married. Okay, how many men are married? Men, married. Okay, every man, when you live here today, you go home, Tell your wife. Tell your wife, thank you for being my wife. Thank you. Hear me. It doesn't spoil the soup. It adds more meat to the soup. And every wife, when you leave here, when you go home, and tell your husband, thank you for marrying me. I appreciate it. Just want you to know, I feel very honored for being your wife. You blow his head. He'll say, baby, what did you say? Say it again. You know, it's very simple things. In this life, if you want to become great, you must learn to say, I'm sorry. And then you must learn to say, please. And you must learn to say, forgive me. Then learn to say, thank you. Thank you. It's simple, but it's powerful. There are some people in life, I was dealing with a man and a wife, they've been married for 25 years, and the woman have never said, I'm sorry before. So I asked her, why? She said, I don't know how to say I'm sorry. Let me say, hey, mommy. Mommy, you will lose your man, oh. He said, well, I don't want to lose him, but he said, I don't know how to say I'm sorry. He said, I say, learn it. So I said, say I'm sorry. She said, I can't. I dealt with a man of God in America. And after the service, he came to my hotel with the wife. And he said, Papa, talk to your daughter. She beats me. And so I said, what are you talking? He said, she's here. Ask her. So I said, is it true? He said, yes. I said, how do you do that? He said, well, I slap him. Sometimes I use my shoes to hit him. And I said to him, why don't you call 119-99-911. He said, I can't do it because if I call the police and I tell the police my wife is beating me, they won't believe me. So I said, learn martial art. Next time, when she's coming to Saudi, yeah. It's serious. But anyway, I became very firm with her. I said, if ever he slaps you or touches you, move out of the house. And I said, girl, I will command him to move out of this house if you touch him again. She stopped it. Lift up your hands. Why are you looking at me that way? Stand on your feet. Lift up your hands. Say, Father, I repent of every Luciferian traces in me. In the name of Jesus, I renounce it. In Jesus' name, I repent of it. I will never forget you, nor your house. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Are you blessed this morning? Tell somebody, never forget God. You were supposed to be looking here, not there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated in the wonderful presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's time for tithe and offering, opportunity for us to honor God. He's the source of everything we have. Amen. He said he'll give you the riches, he'll give you the wealth, he'll give you the power to enjoy your portion. But this morning you want to bring his portion to him. Come forward with your tithe, wherever you are. Take an offering that honors God. God said, some have robbed me in tithe and in offering. Which means that it's not every offering that honors God. But this morning you want to bring him an offering that honors him. Amen. Come forward with your tithe, your pledges, any vow you made, Dominion Covenant Partners seed, please come forward with it. Wherever you are, take an offering that makes a statement, an offering that demonstrates the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Please lift it up. Begin to speak over that offering. Pray over it as you bring it. Pray over that offering. Pray over the seed. If it's a vow, begin to speak over it. Speak over your tithe. It belongs to the Lord. God said the tithe is mine. It belongs to me. And it is holy. Please lift up your offering, lift up your tithe, lift up any pledge, any seed in your hand, lift it up, and let us pray. We give you thanks, O Lord, for all the great and mighty things you continually do in our lives. We choose, O God, to honor you this day, acknowledging you as the source of every good thing we have, the source of our lives, and the source of our and of everything we possess. We honor you this day with our seed. And we ask, O Lord, that as you receive at our hands, O God, let your favor be stirred up. Let our riches be released. Let our wealth be released. In the name of Jesus, let the power of poverty break. In Jesus' mighty name, by our tithe, we command our heavens open. We command every devourer arrested. And let every scheme and device of the enemy against the work of our hands be arrested and destroyed. In Jesus' mighty name. And let there be, O God, open doors as we give this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please drop the tithes in the big boxes. Dominion Covenant Partner Seed goes into the basket Reverend Estella has. The basket she's holding. Please put your Dominion Covenant Partner Seed in that. All other pledges, vows, tithe goes into the two boxes, big boxes. Thank you very much. We also have a thanksgiving offering from Mr. and Mrs. Lumofiu, thanking God for his goodness. Praise the Lord. Let's receive the choir as we give.
I will put my trust in you, yeah, yeah. Oh, my heart sings and in you my soul rejoices with a song of praise to you, because you in you, Lord, yeah, yeah. Oh, my heart sings, and in you my soul rejoices. Oh, with the song of praise to you.
Because you are
the great I am.
You are the great I am.
We only
hands briefly in the service. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, there's a great opportunity for you. You need to know the Lord for yourself. He made us in His image, and He gave us opportunity to decide either we want to be with Him or we want to stay on Lucifer's side. But this afternoon, I encourage you to be a part of God's team. You can give your life to Jesus and change your story permanently. It has eternal consequences. Your accepting Christ takes you and qualifies you to be with Him in heaven. But if you turn your back to Him, then you leave yourself no choice but to be condemned to hell. But this morning, you can escape. Is there anybody here who says, I need Jesus, I want to be born again, I want to give my life to Christ, I want to escape condemnation? Kindly lift up your right hand, we'll pray with you. Is there anybody here who wants to be born again? Anybody here who wants to give their life to Jesus? Wherever you are, please lift up your right hand quickly and let's pray with you. Anybody here? I need Jesus. I don't want to go to hell. I want to live for my God. I want to live for my God. If your hand is up anywhere in the service, could you please stand so we acknowledge you and pray with you? Anybody here? I need Jesus. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be shy of. There's nobody you need to be ashamed of. Praise the Lord. Anybody? Anybody? I don't see any hand. I don't see anybody standing. We are not guilty of your blood because we've given you the opportunity. You are responsible for your decision. Amen. Shall we lift up our heads? We also want to welcome those who are here for the first time. If today is your first time visiting with us, could you kindly stand so we acknowledge you? Anybody here for the first time? God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Could you kindly come forward? We have a special message from the Archbishop for you. Please come forward. Please come with your bag. Come with your Bible. If it is possible, please come with your bag and bow. Unless there's somebody taking care of it for you, that's fine. Are we glad they came? Let's show it. Let's put our hands together for them. If your visitor is shy, you can accompany them. You can escort them forward. It's all right. It's all good. You can come with your visitor if they are a little shy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for your lives. While they're still coming, we also want to welcome anybody who's decided, I want to be a member of this church. I want to be part of this family. If you are that person, please come also. Anybody here? I want to be a member. I want to join this church. I want to be part of this family. Please come also. This is a wonderful church to belong to. Praise the Lord. You come under the covering of the Archbishop as we prepare for the soon coming of our Lord. Amen. Thank you so much, my sister. Praise the Lord. We pray for you that the good Lord will brought you, will continue to watch over you, bless you and keep you, and may He help you always to remember Him. Amen. If you kindly turn around, have some brothers and sisters behind you. They'll give you some information and then you come back into the service. So please go with them. They're right there behind you. I'll put it together properly for them, please. They have a long way to go. Let's encourage them by putting our hands together for them. Amen. Thank God for these precious, precious brothers and sisters as they fellowship with us. Please remember that we are sent out into the world to win souls. Tell somebody, God expects us to win souls. Amen. The least you can do is to invite people to church because they may meet the Lord in church. Amen. So if you are not evangelizing and you are not inviting people to, I don't know really where you stand. So let's invite people to church. Let's tell people about Jesus. We just came from Easter. Let's share the Easter story. Tell people about the Jesus who died for us. The good things we are enjoying, let's share it with others. Amen. And the least you can do, invite somebody to church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do we have any April borns in the house? Anybody born in April? Anybody born in April? Please stand. All April borns, please stand. Our time is already gone. I will sing for you to make up for all the other three services. Happy birthday for the April borns. Quickly, choir, happy birthday for April borns. If you are sitting by them, give them a handshake. Give them a high five. Wish them well. Peace. worthy to all of you. Let us pray. Father, we commend your people unto you. We pray that your hand will be upon them for good. We ask, O Lord, that they will celebrate more birthdays in the name of Jesus. May their years be fulfilled with peace, with honor, with glory in the name of Jesus. May every plan of the enemy concerning their lives be overthrown in the name of Jesus. Cause them to rise. Cause them to expand. Enlighten their coast and give them a testimony. Live long, prosper, flourish, and fulfill your dreams in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Immediately after the service, your birthday cake and refreshments are ready for you in the VIP hall. Please gather there. Let's have some fellowship before you go. Amen. Please remember, at 6 p.m. tonight, our fourth and final service for the day will take off right here in this auditorium. We encourage you to be a part of it. And on Wednesday, our Father, the Archbishop, will continue his teaching on remembrance. Daughters of Zion, all daughters are to note that a meeting scheduled originally for tomorrow has been postponed to next month. We'll be meeting on the 25th of May instead of tomorrow. So tomorrow, daughters of Zion are not meeting. Are not meeting, okay? The women are meeting end of next month instead of tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Shall we please stand? If you're traveling this week, please come forward. Remember, the copies of the devotional, the lamp, is all available. You can get copies from the protocol workers. You can get copies in the bookshop. It's still 10 Ghana cedis. Buy one for somebody. Praise the Lord. If you're traveling this week, please come forward. Please come forward. Let's cover you before you go.
Hey, you know something? I love you. No. I mean it. I love you more than you love me. I'm telling you. I really do love you. I'm telling you. You know, sometimes because of you, I don't even want to travel. And I don't receive invitations on Sundays because of you. I just love to be with you. That's it. I want you to know that. Lift up your hands and let's just worship him before we leave here, okay? Everybody stand on your feet if you can. If you can, stand on your feet. Let's just worship him. All the way.
And I will run to you.
You've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055 +233 26 767 6055 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com info@godswordforus.com